Well, I was born in the Panhandle, Texas.
Oh, Buddy Holly country. Lubbock?
Lubbock.
No
Freona,
kidding.
Specifically.
All right. What was it like back then, David?
Well, you know, I was just born there. Dad was stationed in Canada and was going to be going to Korea and decided to drop mom off at grandma's house where she had me. Mm. Just long enough to have me, and then he picked her up and moved to Canada. So I was born in Texas.
Got it. Got that, and but, raised in around here?
Well, I was raised in the Midwest.
Okay.
I never lived in Texas. New Mexico, Colorado, Kansas, Midwestern boy.
Yeah. The United States is great. I mean, it really is great. You have, you know, the dark soil in the Midwest, which it doesn't exist anywhere except for, I think, one spot in Iran and one spot in South America. But that dark soil. You've got the plains, the high plains, which does not exist, only exists in a few places on Earth, which is a nasty place to live, Kansas, a nasty place. Thomas Jefferson had a lot of reservations about, it wasn't an easy call for him to the Louisiana Purchase for a lot of reasons, but one thing he didn't like was that the Republic was growing too fast. Didn't want to get ahead of ourselves. And I don't even know if that was constitutional, what he did.
I was about to say, he knew there was a, that wasn't something the Constitution authorized him to do, but the price was so good, he yes. made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Can I ask you a controversial question?
Controversy.
I think you check the switch on your mic there.
Yeah, okay.
He gets accused of being a racist quite a bit, Thomas Jefferson. The word racist gets thrown around haphazardly. What is a racist, in your opinion?
Someone that is proud of their race. Someone that likes being their color.
I wouldn't define it that way, but go ahead.
Well, the negative connotation that's been attached to it is again, it's a perception. It's a redefinition of the word. But founding fathers were absolutely racist. Back in the day, the black slave wasn't even considered a person under the law. And white America and white Europe was considered the civilized world. And so they were racist because they were white. And then back in the day, no one gave it a second of thought. It was only until, you know, what happened in the 60s that people started making a big deal out of it.
But I worked for a guy once. This was a long time. I was a teenager. He was an old guy, and this is 25 years ago. This is the only racist I ever met in my life. This guy thought that white people were superior to black people. To me, that's racist. Because I think that every human being is created in the image and likeness of God, and they all have a certain dignity. They have an eternal soul. And when Columbus came to the West Indies, it was a clash of civilizations, like you white Europeans meeting the West Indians. And the West Indians, they didn't have any clothes on. And there were some abuses from the Spaniards against the Indians. And then I think a pope in the 1538 issued a decree saying that and he concluded in his decree that these Indians, these West Indians, they are human, they have a soul, they are, so therefore we need to treat them as such, and that curtailed some of the abuse. But my question is, Do you agree with it? Well, do you agree with that, first of all?
Well, that's a lot you just said. let me come back around and start from where I do agree. Adam, for example.
Eve's Adam.
Adam, as in Adam and Eve, okay. Spawned a race, and Israel came from the loins of Adam. There's a question as to the other races, whether they came from Adam, whether they existed on this planet. I subscribe to the idea that the other races existed on the planet, and Adam was the progenitor of a new race. Now, if you look back through Scripture, Israel was forbidden to intermarry with other nations. And they were told who they could and who they couldn't intermarry with. And it was considered adultery for Israel, anyone in the house of Israel, to go out and marry the wife of a foreign nation. There's a story of a gentleman by the name of Phinehas slew some of the men of Israel and their wives and children because they had intermarried with nations that they were specifically commanded by under the law of Moses not to intermarry with. So is Israel racist? Well, look over today. The Jewish nation, which I say there's some confusion as to whether that's really the true Israel. But even the state of Israel, they don't agree that you won't find interracial marriages going on inside Judaism, inside that particular religion. So that's a very racist religion. And there was a time in America when it was called, as a matter of fact, the whole purpose of the marriage license was to authorize miscegenation, which was a commingling of blood, which is to marry outside your race, miscegenation. So it required a marriage license to get married to someone besides within your own race, in particular the white race, because this was white America. If you go back in the annals of history, you'll learn that Thomas Jefferson wanted to send the blacks back to their own land and separate the races, because he didn't believe that a commingling of the nations and the races would lead to an ordered society. Lincoln felt the same way. I think it was, I want to say, the nation of Liberia. Somebody can call in and correct that. But throughout the course of this country, there was more than a few times when it was championed, the idea of separating the races. And so an argument can be made today that we are now reaping the result of the commingling of the races and the commingling of the religions and the commingling of the ideologies, that from the beginning, if you follow the law of Moses and the lineage of Israel, we were strictly forbidden not to do in order to maintain order. So I don't want, now we'll get down to the controversy, I don't want my sons marrying outside the white race. As a matter of fact, I think the idea that the word racist has, I think it's a buzzword for white genocide. Because I think if you look, the only ones that are accused of being racist are white people. We just had a black Republican caucus get together. But if you put a white Republican caucus together, that's racist. But it's not racist if the black folks do it. Mm-hmm. So we have a real double standard and a lot of hypocrisy going on around the word racist. So it's okay for the blacks to be racist against whites, but it's not okay for the whites to be racist against any other race in our own country. And so, you know, in my definition of the word racist is I'm proud of being white and I'm okay with it. And I'm not going to apologize to anybody for it. And I don't want my sons marrying outside my race. I'd like to have white grandchildren because I'd like to maintain the culture and the religion and the culture.
David's phone's ringing like crazy.
Oh, no, that's...
Oh, is that something else?
No, that's my message.
I am the product of, I think... I'm the product of an interracial marriage. My mother is Puerto Rican and Mexican, 100%. I mean, 50-50. My father is a European from Tipperary. Do I look like a white guy?
You look pretty white to me.
You should see my brother Jimmy. But I guess would you call that interracial marriage?
I would. And let me watch this, okay? The idea of this new world order, I find that to be a form of genocide, because if you take all of the races and you commingle them, if you commingle them together, mm-hmm. you end up with one race. And
they like sameness.
And so there's no more distinction between the races, and so you've created a new race at the expense of eliminating all races. And now we have the commingling in one race, and we have one big happy family, and that's pretty racist. Right? So anyone championing the idea of multiculturalism, mm-hmm. I'm going to argue is really promoting white genocide. Mm-hmm. They for some reason don't want there to be a white race, because when we champion the white race, immediately the foot comes down and they kick you in the butt and say, no, you can't talk about that because that's racist. But when the other races rise up, it's okay for them to condemn the white race. So what is it about the white race that is either so special or so hated that it has become singled out as the target for hatred?
Well, I think the revisionists in academia will outright tell you that colonialism is racism. What Junipero Serra did, who came from Spain, and if you're driving in Southern California, you'll see the Junipero Serra Expressway or whatever, although they want to get that changed, the revisionists do. You know, he missionary. What do? The French Jesuits up north, the Spanish Jesuits here in New Spain, they started these missions in California, Santa Barbara, San Juan Capistrano. I'm sure you've seen them or heard of them, but they teach the natives how to live, how to garden. They teach them cleanliness. They teach them the Western ways.
So is that a Western way? That's interesting. Let's go down that road. Is that a Western way? What, the other races didn't come up with that on their own?
David, Indians were dying of diseases at young ages, all over. They were diseases. According to the Isaac Jogues story, they didn't have medicine. Columbus had the Columbian Exchange, where he gave Indians horses. You know, an Indian looked at a horse the same way you and I look at a Mercedes-Benz. Yes. You know, and the Indians gave Columbus and the Europeans the potato. The problem is the Europeans brought illness, too. They brought the flu. So Junipero Serra, he taught people how to live, how to live in a society, as opposed to every man for himself.
So, you got a caller. Did the white race introduce...
Your mic's off again there, Dave.
Am I back on?
Yes.
Did the white race introduce civilization into civilization? Is that what the white race brings with it? Because it seems that where the white...
I think the Europeans did, yeah.
Okay, so the white European settlers... settled America. They weren't immigrants back then. They were settlers. Today they're called immigrants because they're not here to settle. The nation's already been settled. But civilization was brought through the Christian, white Christian religion. And the white Christian Western European philosophy, political philosophy. And so that's what the white race is known for, in establishing and pioneering the world.
Hi, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
Hello.
So, talking about this race thing, it seems to me that mankind always has to group people or do something, but the Bible says that Adam and Eve are the forefathers of all the living on the earth, and that since Adam and Eve sinned, we all die. So all mankind really have a a single origin, and that would make everyone on the earth relate to one another. So I don't know why they have to cause such hatred among the nations. You know, man does a lot of bad things, and it seems like to me they never learn how to do any better. They can go to the moon and come back, but they can't seem to learn how to love one another. You know, list yours and David's comment off here.
All right. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call.
I was going to say, you really opened a can of worms now. You want to talk about controversy.
It's Eve's fault.
No. Who did Cain marry in the land of Nod? You know, Cain, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel.
Claudia?
Cain went and slew Abel, and he was excommunicated. He was banished and told that he could no longer enjoy relation with Adam and Eve and the sons of Adam. So Cain gets banished off to the land of Nod, where he took a wife. And I respectfully disagree that Adam is the father of all races. I just can't get there.
Really?
No, because how do you scientifically, the black DNA is a little bit different than white. Where did this pigmentation come from scientifically?
Well, they were living in Africa. The human adapts, doesn't it?
The skeletal structure is different. If you look, there's a book called The Bell Curve that was printed back in the 1980s, 1990s. There were very different races, white race, black race. The idea of mainstream Christianity subscribes to the fact that there was something that happened inside the ark, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and that's where the races came from.
That I've never heard. I've never heard that.
But if you trace back the DNA, and if you really look at the book of Genesis, Adam appears to have come onto the planet with an order to take dominion of the earth. As a matter of fact, the word can be translated into conquer. The earth was in chaos. And it appears, it's just as likely a theory, that other races existed when Adam was introduced into the mix back in the book of Genesis. And so some people believe this, and I'm one of those some people that do, that believe that not all races came from Adam.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. This is beyond me. Good morning. Hello.
Hi, Dan.
Hello.
I have to agree with Dave on this. If you think about in Genesis where it says, Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel as their sons. Cain killed Abel, and Cain was banished to another land where he had to find a pick a wife and start a family. This other land, where do these people come from? And I'm sorry, I can't tell you the name of the land. I know it's in the Bible.
It was not the land of Nod.
So where do these people come from, separate from Adam and Eve? So it's food for thought.
But it's unclear what land we're talking about.
If I had time, I could look it up and tell you. But
okay.
I always question that. I was raised that Adam and Eve were the first man, the first woman, and we all came from them. But when you read further, where, when Cain killed Abel and Cain was banished to another land, you think, well, where, another land, another people, where did these people come from?
Oh, interesting. All right. I was not taught this in Sunday school.
It's the land of Nod.
Right. So where did those people originate from?
Well, they evolved from apes. See, there's room for everybody here. Adam was created. The other races on the planet evolved.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that this is true, by the way. I don't know. I wasn't alive back then.
It's strictly theory.
It's theory, but it appears that, yes.
It would mean that, we did not all originate from Adam and Eve.
It does not appear that way to me if you follow a strict interpretation of the book in Genesis.
Correct.
Interesting. All right. Thank you for the call, sir.
Sure.
Hello, hello. Good morning.
Hi, Dennis. Me again.
Hey.
The question is this. If there was other people on the earth that and Cain married one of them, why is it that those people die? Because only because of Adam, the Bible says it is why everyone dies. They inherited sin from Adam. So why was it then that if people came from somewhere else, why are they dying? I'll take your answer off the air.
I think the better question is to ask, what did Adam lose in the garden that was called death? Because when Adam was created, according to the story, he was created not to die. And Adam was partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and as a result, he died, and his posterity died. All animals die. It's part of the life cycle. Adam, though, was born not to die until he made the choice to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was made after the image and likeness of God. So the race of Adam was a pretty particularly special race as the races on the planet go. So the other races were dying off just like any other animal would die off. And just like we die out, we all die off today because we've all been disconnected from whatever it was that Adam had that made him immortal before he ate from the wrong tree.
Got it. I got to hit the news. David Justice is here. If you're calling, hang on and we'll hang on just a second. I might have another guest, too. I'm not sure. I got to check the hallway. It's 8:33. It's 8:40. David Justice is here. Hello, good morning.
Oh, good morning, guys.
Good morning to you.
Hi, Dell.
Let me get away from that radio. Just some information to be put into the mix there is that, let me find it here. Get my thoughts back in order again. Remember that, Adam and Eve, they lived about 800 years, and they got sons and daughters, and Jewish traditions, would indicate that they had about 33 sons and 23 daughters. And then God, remember, told them to go out and propagate and fill the earth, which raises a question then. If they did not marry each other, then who did they marry? How did they propagate the earth if there was only Adam and Eve? So I'm just throwing that into the mix to see what you come up
with. Pastor, that question before you hang up. You still there?
Yeah.
Was there, back in the day, was there a prohibition against
marrying relatives that way?
Yeah, marrying inside the family.
There was not. Mm-hmm. There was not. As a matter of fact, Abraham married his sister. And there's lots of other things that would indicate that they did marry close relatives back in those days, which the races, I guess, were they were thought to be pure enough that it didn't create the harm that it does today. But I think probably the human race has physically somewhat deteriorated to what they was back in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my thoughts on that anyway.
Well, thanks for your comment. And let me just say it out loud on the radio. Dell, your wife Louise is in some pretty bad shape, and you could use some prayers. So, Father, I want to pray for Dell's wife, Louise, and Dell in this time of need. And if anybody else throws in on that prayer, let's all say amen and pray that Louise has a strong and quick recovery.
Thank you very much, and I pray amen to that.
Amen. All right. Thank you for the call.
You bet. Thank you. Now.
Now I'm trying to retrack his question again. There's a lot of mystery with God.
There's a lot of mystery because of our perception of God. You know, I think when it all plays out, there's no mystery in this. the mystery is because of the different religions and the different perspectives and the denominational and the dogma and the use of religion throughout the ages to control the people and you know, and as a result, here we are in the year 2016 and God's a mystery.
Well, he's all knowing. I'm not.
Well, God's all about the truth, and we don't know the truth. We all have our perspectives through which we perceive the truth through.
And I'm flawed because of Eve. Good morning. Hello.
Well, we have the infinite, and our finite minds can't understand the infinite. And what about the mitochondria that traces the women back to Eve?
I don't know that word.
Mitochondria. I'm ignorant.
Mitochondria is what, that's the beauty of being a woman, because being a woman through mitochondria, we can be traced back to Eve. Only the woman.
Okay, Bruce Jenner cannot.
Oh.
Got it. Interesting.
But he was Woman of the Year on Vanity Fair magazine.
That. In our messed up world. But anyway, the infinite and our finite minds, that's what we have, our finite minds, and we cannot understand the infinite.
But doesn't the scripture say that we have the mind of Christ?
Well, it does say that, but still, the reality is we are not infinite. We don't know beginning to end. That is God.
But
God is the infinite.
But doesn't the scripture say that we're the temples of the Holy Spirit and that we have access to knowing these things?
Well, the thing of it is, David, is we all read, we all study, and we all come up with a different thing.
Perspective.
We all have different opinions.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
We all have our perspective, and then we surround ourselves with people that agree with us so that I get to be right about my perspective. And as a result, we create different denominations, and then we argue about what's true when we're operating through our perspective. That's what you're saying.
Well, Lucifer thought he was on a par with God, but we are created in his image and likeness.
Not Lucifer, God, the Father.
Right.
Lucifer was banished, you know, kicked into hell, wasn't he? Because he thought he was on a par with God.
In Revelations about the war with Lucifer and God.
Now we're getting into a mystery.
Oh, Lucifer was an angel. He was an angel.
See, this is all story, though. You know, this is all story. This is all based upon interpretation of Scripture rather than what is true. Because the only place you can find in Scripture that talks about Lucifer in the context that you're referring to was in a dirge sung against the king of Babylon back in the book of Isaiah, I believe. And so we've created a lot of stories around our perception of what we think Scripture says, and as a result, we live in a day of confusion and mystery because it's hard to sort out what is true. And, you know, we can line up 100 different pastors from 100 different denominations, and they're going to disagree on a lot of things, and the only reason there's disagreement is because we're perceiving and not seeing.
Yeah, they've had the Council of Trent, the Council of Nicaea, and that's why they had these councils.
And they have the seminaries, which in some respects are more cemeteries, because people come out getting the dogma of the relative denomination that then they champion, and as a result, we have dissension among the ranks. We don't have unity in a consistent teaching of truth.
But it's still, you read and I read, and we come up with differences, and we're both reading the same thing. It's just like when our daughter was hit by the car when she was 10 years old, we had 10 witnesses of that same accident, and 10 people saw 10 different things. And the police officer told us, that is the way our minds work. It instantly starts clicking. And what we're seeing is different from the very person that is standing next to us. And I think it's the same thing as I am studying right next to you, David, or Dan. I see something different. It's the way our mind picks up facts and truth.
We see as through a glass darkly. We project onto the world from our experience and from our education the things that we expect to see, and we create a story about the facts, and then we believe that our story about the facts is true. You notice that the news never says developing facts. They always say developing story. So even the news reports stories, but they don't report facts. And here we are in the year 2016, we read the Bible and we walk away with a perspective. We walk away with a story. You go into a church and they teach you their perspective, their story. And, you know, you wonder why people have become atheists.
Yeah.
They look for truth and they find dissension amongst the so-called Christian ranks. And so they feel justified. Well, if they can believe anything they want, then why shouldn't I believe anything I want? And so this is the day we live in.
Even within that Christian body, I find it very interesting that, quote, unquote, Christians think that they can decide if another faith is Christian or not. And so I find that very interesting. But anyway, I'll let you guys go.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for the call.
The call.
AM 249-5800, AM 580.
This started out with race. You wanted to be controversial. You know, let's look at Israel. This is so important today, too, because conservatives want to defend Israel. And you know what? I'll take it back to the Bible is the why. Because there's a scripture that says those that bless Israel will be blessed and those that curse Israel will be cursed. And so conservative Christian Republicans want to defend Israel because they want to receive the blessing of God. But there's a scripture in the book of Revelations that says that some Jews who say they are Jews or not, they're of the synagogue of Satan. So we're living in a day when there's a lot of confusion going on as to who is Israel and who is not. And Israel is not, or Israel is totally racist. From the days of Moses to today, there's this racist connotation within the house of Israel. Israel is forbidden to intermarry with other races, and the rest of the world is okay with that. We don't think of Israel as being racist.
Mm-hmm. I think they get confused. We're not supposed to worship the Israeli government, and a lot of conservative Republicans seem to do that.
Well, a lot of conservative Republicans think that the Israel that was created in 1948 is the restoration of the House of Israel that was prophesied in the Bible. And as we've had this conversation a little on this show, some Jews argue against that reality because the prophesied House of Israel is not going to be man-made. It's going to be made after the image and likeness of God when it's fully restored. And it will, you know, the prophecy is that it has a major role to play in the coming events on this planet. If we've got the wrong Israel, if we're looking at the house of the Jews as Israel when the true Israel is not, then we've got a lot of confusion going on, and I think that's exactly what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
Lots of confusion.
Especially in the right wing. I remember a guy in his 50s, Palestinian Christian. He told me they came in with machine guns and they said, you know, to these folks on the West Bank, 1948, and said, get up and get out, to people who were living there for generations, decades, hundreds of years. Get up and get out at gunpoint.
Mm-hmm.
He was bitter about it, but boy, Glenn Beck, Mark Levin, Sean Hannity, they won't touch this topic. They don't, you know, they're...
It's got to be, you know, really, it's probably the most controversial topic that we could touch. Because if we're looking at the wrong house of Israel, you know, if the nation that calls themselves Israel is not true Israel, then that is potentially an abomination that could cause desolation, because we are now blaspheming the true children of God by ascribing to them a nationality that is not of our Father. This is why this is such a hot, dangerous topic.
Well, I got on the air one morning and I said, there will never be peace in the Middle East because those two religions, Islam and Judaism, they don't preach forgiveness. Certainly not the way that Christians advocate forgiveness.
I don't know. It's been my experience that Christians eat their own. You know, I don't...
Right, but if they do that, they're not acting inconsistent with their worldview, what their
right.
worldview
it
is.
It really begs the question, what is true Christianity? You know, I say I'm Christian.
Love and forgiveness.
You know, I say I'm Christian, and non-Christians would judge me by my works, by my, you know, how I am being, as opposed to what I'm saying. And yet inside Christianity, there's this idea, it's more about what you say. If you say the right words, you say the magic words and you repent and say the right words, Jesus, accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal savior and you're saved. And then you go to church and put your money in the basket and you get to die and go to heaven. Is that really Christianity?
No, it is scriptural, David. It says faith without works is dead, right?
Right.
So you can't just talk your way into heaven.
But
you got to walk the walk.
Here's a scary one. Jesus wasn't a warmonger.
Was or was not?
Was not. And Christianity is not adverse to war. And there's some controversy now with respect to Israel was told to go out and conquer the world. And they used force to do so. And Jesus comes along and he comes for the lost tribes of the house of Israel. And the apostles go out and they lay down their lives and they get butchered for standing on the gospel. But today we don't see Christians being butchered, except maybe over in the land of Muslim.
Heck yeah, they're being butchered. I just read about those nuns who were butchered in, what was it, Syria?
So
anyway,
should we give those guys refugee status, or should we continue to give Islam people refugee status? I think Donald Trump is right. We need to sort this thing out.
I would impose a moratorium. It doesn't have to be forever, but I would impose a strict moratorium initially. Yes. Short answer, yes. Hello, good morning.
Hi, Dan, it's me again.
Hi.
David, when you look up the word nod, which is in Genesis, I think it's chapter 6, where it says that Cain was banished. The word nod in Hebrew means a land of, he was a fugitive. So even though he was banished away from the rest of them, he still had access to taking a wife, which was one of his sisters, or himself. And then it shows that Cain was the first one that ever built a city. So and he named that city Enoch, if you really read the scripture there. And you go back into the old manuscripts of the Hebrews scrolls there. But that's what that word nod means.
Okay, so you're saying that he was a fugitive and got a mark laid on him, and he was, you know, everyone was told don't kill Nod because, or don't kill Cain, because if you kill Cain, you're going to get cursed. So Cain's running around on the earth. You think he came back and married one of the children of Adam then?
Yes, because see, back when Adam and Eve was created, God created them perfect, and there was not enough genes. Like, see, we are what is called degenerated, or our genes in our day it causes people to be deaf, blind, or, you know, mentally undeveloped. Because men, down through the centuries, they have, you know, since the death sentence was laid on us, all of us, our genes doesn't work like they did back when Adam and Eve was created perfect.
Well, yeah, women go through the pain of birth, for one thing. I'm running out of time. Carolyn, thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
So long. 8:59, David Justice, thank you so much. Last word, go ahead.
Well, Cain said Cain was concerned when he was banished that if anybody found him, they would kill him. The question becomes, who's they?